Our scripture today is about an encounter between Jesus and John the Baptist. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the ones who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord. When you look for a Savior, what are you looking for? What qualities do you think a Savior should possess? How can you be certain you've found a Savior? For a long, long time, the people of Israel had been looking for a Savior, a Messiah. This Savior would be living proof that God hadn't forgotten Israel and his ancient covenant with Abraham. This Savior would run the Romans out of Israel. He would restore their greatness. They would be a light to the nations, just as God had intended them to be. Finally, lots of people agreed that they had found this Savior. His name was John the Baptist. You might remember John from our Advent readings. He was one of the Bible's miracle babies, born to elderly parents who hadn't been able to have a child. John was born to be a prophet. His role in history was to announce the coming of a Messiah and to make the Messiah's paths smooth and straight. It's easy to see why so many people were mistaken and thought that he was the Messiah. John was certainly devoted to God. He called people to repent and to be baptized to wash away their sins. He warned that to be saved, it's not enough to be part of a group of chosen people. He said, "Each of us has to show signs of repentance in our own lives. Each of us has to embody our faith through our own words and actions." John himself never claimed to be the Messiah. Temple officials sent investigators to ask him if he was, He said no. Pharisees came to ask him. John said, among you stands one you do not know, one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. John's job was to reveal the Messiah. When he baptized Jesus, it wasn't because Jesus needed to have his sins washed away. It was because Jesus' baptism served as revelation. When Jesus was baptized, John saw the sign that God had told him to wait for. John said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. That Messiah, that Son of God, was Jesus. John started to point Jesus out to his own disciples. Look, here is the Lamb of God. John was a prophet, and he seems to have had a divinely inspired understanding of where Jesus' life and mission would lead. He seems to have understood the sacrifice that Jesus would have to make for the sins of the world. How much he shared with his disciples, we don't know. But John's words carried great weight. Some of his disciples began to follow Jesus, as we heard in today's scripture. They brought others with them, and soon, between the friends they brought and the people that Jesus himself called, Jesus had his own following. He began his own ministry, a ministry of teaching and healing and performing miracles of many kinds. Come and see, Jesus told people who questioned him. They followed, and they saw. John himself wouldn't live to see how Jesus' ministry developed. He continued with his own ministry, proclaiming the truth about how God would have us live. However, what God inspires us to proclaim is not always prudent and wise from an earthly perspective. John criticized King Herod, unquestionably a man who was not living as God would have us do. Also unquestionably, Herod was a man with great power. John was arrested and imprisoned and eventually beheaded. During his imprisonment, John sent word to Jesus through his disciples. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? He said. John, in the midst of his Spirit-inspired certainty, was uncertain about what he was hearing about Jesus' ministry. Jesus wasn't sounding like the Messiah that everyone had expected. Where were his plans to restore the nation of Israel? How was he going to get the Romans to leave? Jesus replied to John's messengers by saying, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Even the most knowledgeable among us, even the most faithful, can find ourselves in circumstances where we have doubts. Perhaps John wondered why, if Jesus was the Messiah, he found himself imprisoned by a corrupt and violent ruler. Why wasn't the existing unjust order overturned, and overturned right now? John's response is one we might take to heart when we find ourselves overwhelmed and doubtful. John took his doubts to Christ. He sent messengers to Jesus, and Jesus replied. John may not have received the reply he wanted. However, he understood that what Jesus was doing was the fulfillment of prophecy. Even if he didn't understand how God was working, God's work was apparent. Even someone as great as John could be caught off guard by the way God works and what God's work looks like. Which brings me back to my original questions. What do you look for when you look for a Savior? What qualities does a Savior possess? How can we be certain when we've found a Savior? Most of us are here today because we have found one. His name is still Jesus Christ. He's invited all of us to come and see. We did, and we've stayed. But there are lots of people looking for a Savior outside our doors. There are probably even more people who need a Savior and don't know it yet. There's a lot of temporary salvation on offer in our world. We have many things available to us that were never possible in earlier times. Our medical care is often effective. And I actually have to give an exception here. My husband isn't here because he pulled something in his back doing yard work yesterday and hasn't been able to figure out a way to make that better. However, sometimes it can actually cure disease and heal injuries. We can insure against sickness, early death, loss of our jobs or homes or possessions. Many governments use their taxing authority to provide benefits of all kinds to their citizens. People in first world countries, at least, have access to education, employment, safety, and protection of individual rights to a degree that no one in the ancient world would have shared. These things benefit all of us, but they also mask our need for a Savior. It's so easy to immerse ourselves in the endless choices of daily living, in the many opportunities we have to educate or entertain ourselves. When do we have time to look for a Savior, even if we sense we might somehow need one? Not to mention, the world is full of false messiahs. So many leaders speak lies with such eloquence. Others aren't so eloquent, but they tell us what we want to hear. People will promise us anything for our votes, our money, and our work on their behalf. They'll promise wonders in a pill or a program. We need John the Baptist. We need a lot of John the Baptists. The world is so full of noise and distraction and pleasure and pain, it's hard to see Christ in the midst of it. Who is going to smooth the way of the Savior? Who is going to make his paths straight? We are. Not because we're miracle babies, not because prophecies were made at our births that we would bring light to darkness and set the feet of others on the path of peace, because we're believers. We have been invited by no less a person than Jesus Christ himself to follow and proclaim. We've accepted his baptism of water and the Spirit. The fire of God has been working in our lives to burn away what isn't worthwhile. We proclaim Christ because we're his followers. What we say and what we do is seen by the world as what Christ would say and do. In the years since I became a Christian, I have benefited from the stories of other Christians. I've been formed and transformed by the Christians I've met, by sermons and hymns and worship, by the evidence of caring that I've experienced myself and that I've seen other people experience. But earlier, if you'd told me I was missing something by not attending church, I wouldn't have believed you. What I did believe was what I saw in my life every day. No, I never saw anyone who looked and spoke like John the Baptist. But I do remember a patient I talked to before he had a dangerous surgery. His faith in Christ and peace of mind were very plain in the way he spoke, and they were plain in everything he said. I saw Christ in the friendliness of some of my neighbors. I saw it in the closeness that grandparents had with their grandchildren, in how willingly they offered their time and their presence to nurture those children. I saw and heard a million little proclamations of who and what Christ inspires people to be. Gradually, I was convinced that there is such a thing as a Savior, and that a Savior was something I wanted to have. Know that in your everyday life, you are a proclamation of the presence of Christ. You and I proclaim Christ when we say and show what Jesus has said and shown to us. So many of you already show this so clearly, but don't let that discourage you from growing even more. Jesus has big plans for the world, and he wants us to be a part of them. Pray with me, please. Lord, we so want to smooth your paths in the world, our world that needs you so badly. Inspire us, strengthen us, guide us as we show to others what you have taught us. Amen.